What's up, everybody? It is Reverend Lyle Lewis coming at you one more time with another Pain Fighters podcast. And today, well, let's go ahead and just, you know, do the honors and whatnot. Let's go ahead and, we thank God for, you know, another message. And, you know, I'm a minister from the Word Evangelistic Church, where my pastor is the Prophet Willie T. Townsend. My co-pastor is Prophet T. Townsend. We are located in Chicago, Illinois. Let's see. This episode is brought to you by Lewtown Productions. And thanks to our friends at Anchor, who opened up the opportunity for us to be able to do this. Now, let's see, what are we doing today? Today, we are going to talk about, renewing of the mind and the spirit. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because you got a lot of people out there who believe that they could just get saved and that's it. When the real whole thing about it is there is no salvation without being renewed. This is the whole reason why the whole thing of salvation is considered as a term of being born again. This is the reason why Jesus Christ said, unless ye be born again, you know, marvel not, you must be born again. In other words, there must be some kind of a change in order for you to come to God and come to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not to say necessarily that, you know, everything has to change right then and there. But at the same time, if your heart and your mind have been renewed, which it should have happened the day you made the decision, like, hey, look, I want to give my life to the Lord. That should have been the moment right there. But at the same time, you know, there are those who are like, well, I came to God as I was. Yeah, you don't get me wrong. You got those who just, they came to God as they were. And, you know, they weren't really fully delivered from a lot of different things and whatnot. So they just came to God as they were. And in the process of coming to God as they were, they got rid of things along the way. But they still made up in their mind, they still purposed in their heart that this is what they were going to do. So we're going to go ahead and go off into the scripture right quick. And then after going into the scripture, we're going to go ahead and break things down. All right. So we're going to go come from Ephesians chapter 4. And let's see. We'll just start at the 21st verse and we'll read down. And it says, and if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of old men, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right. So, like I said, today's lesson is going to be being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what does that mean, in the spirit of your mind? Meaning, in other words, the consciousness of your mind should be different. It should not be the same. You shouldn't have the same mind frame. You shouldn't have the same old way of thinking. You shouldn't have the same old perspective. There should be a change, a shift that has occurred in the process of you making the transition from being a sinner unto being somebody who is saved. Now, the problem with that is, with a lot of people, is they don't know that they're supposed to be a transition. They just think that all I'm supposed to do is just come to church. And then you have those who know that, you know, they have to go a step further other than coming to church, but actually get saved. But then there's a lot of people who don't understand that there's another step that comes after that. They think that all I have to do is just come to church, get saved, and that's that. No, there's still other things that need to be done, because this is the reason why God said, add to your faith. This is the reason why Paul talked about moving on to perfection. These are different types of ways of saying that, hey, look, it's not just that you're going to just come to church and that's it. It's not just going to come to church and join a church and just say, hey, I'm saved and I'm redeemed by the Lord. No, there are certain things that you have to do, certain things you got to get rid of, certain things you have to add to yourself in order to be redeemed, in order to be saved, in order to have that change of mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what it says. Let's say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind, there should be, it shouldn't be that it's just your mind that's dealing with his predicaments and situations. No, now you have the mind of Christ. This is the reason why Paul had said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. There should be a shift, a change. There should be something that is more than just you. Okay, you just put it in your mind, okay, now I gotta go to church. Oh, I can't drink because I go to church. Oh, I can't smoke because I go to church. Don't get me wrong, you shouldn't drink and smoke because you get saved. That's a good change. But at the same time, you need more than just the natural change. You get to where a lot of people will do the natural change. They may stop drinking, they may stop smoking, they may stop cursing, they may stop lying, you know what I'm saying? And that's all well and good, you know, all those different things, you know. But the mind is still corrupt. You get what I'm saying? The mind is that they still have evil thoughts. They still have hate. They still have a lot of things that's hidden within the mind and hidden within the heart. You get what I'm saying? There has to be a complete changing. But the thing of it is when you're not being taught about these things, then you have it where Satan can easily come in and run wild with a lot of different things in your mind, run wild with a lot of things in your spirit, run wild with a lot of things in your heart. And here it is, you're thinking that you're still okay because these are things that within you, and they're not hurting anybody, but they're hurting you. Both spiritually and naturally. They're hurting you in all kinds of ways. Because what's happening is, when you go and do things, like the Bible said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So that means anything that you do, anything that you say, comes from the heart. So therefore, yeah, there's a lot of times when you go and deal with certain people, you're not genuine, because in your heart you're jealous towards them, or in your mind you don't like them, or you know what I'm saying, you had evil thoughts towards them, you were gossiping about them, or whatever the case may be. These are things that come from within. See, the outward part of it, yeah, you may show love, you may give them a chicken dinner, you may, you know, give them a basket of food or something like that, but inwardly, how do you feel about them? See, that's what the part that a lot of people don't realize. They don't look at that part. They don't look at the part of, what about the inward part? Does the inward part match the output? Okay? Does my inward man have love towards this individual? Yeah, my outward man is showing that I have love to him because I'm giving him food. But, I mean, anybody can put on a show. You get what I'm saying? Anybody can give somebody a food basket and smile. But can you honestly give, are you honestly giving it to that person in love? Or is this a person who you favor? Hey, this is my good friend. But then you get it where somebody who you're pretty much not in good favor with, can you still show that person love? Yeah, you gave your good friend a basket of food when they needed it. But when this other brother or sister that came up that you didn't too much know needed a basket of food, you shunned them. You acted kind of funny towards them. You get what I'm saying? What happens is, number one, I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And I'm going to stick with the Word of God from the perspective of the teachers, the preachers, the pastors, and so forth. Because if you're not taught this, then you'll never know. See, if the church that you're in isn't teaching on these kinds of things, then yeah, you're not being brought into the full knowledge of these things. And when you're not being brought into the full knowledge of these things wind up slipping away from you. What I mean slipping away from you, meaning these are things that you might read in the Bible, but due to the fact that it's not taught, you A, don't have the full understanding, or B, you just figure as though this is something that, you know, you can skip over, whatever the case may be. If the church is just always talking about love, 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 and charity, 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 love, 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 that's all well and good, but at the same time, what about the love? See, it's not just, when you're dealing with God, you're not just dealing with a surface kind of thing. You have to deal with God in both a spiritual and a natural way. You get what I'm saying? You got to deal with the Word of God in a spiritual and a natural way. You got to deal with your brothers and your sisters in a spiritual and natural way. You got to deal with Satan in a spiritual and natural way. You got to look at everything from a spiritual perspective and a natural perspective. So that then this way you can get the fullest of what's going on. You can get a full understanding of how to handle the situation. See, Jesus Christ had a full understanding of what was in man, both spiritually and naturally. He knew how man felt spiritually. He knew how man felt naturally. He knew what men would do, and he knew that he understood, and Jesus also understood to the fullest that how a man was spiritually would cause him to react in a natural way. You get what I'm saying? When you have been transformed and have a brand new mind and have a brand new spirit and have a brand new heart and things like that, like you're supposed to when you come into Christ, then you have it where you've made that full transition. But when you just have it where you've only made that first step, you got a lot of growing to do. See, don't get me wrong. Even if you did make the full turn, even if you did come in the renewed of the, how did the Bible put it exactly? It came and said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Even if you came in a renewed, in the renewed of the spirit of the mind, even if you did come in that way, you're still not perfect in Christ. You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to fall. You're still going to sin against God. You're still going to listen to Satan. And a lot of people say, oh, I never listened to Satan. We all have listened to Satan at one point in time or another. You want to know why? Because you didn't come into salvation fully taught. You didn't come into salvation like 100% like, oh, I know all the tricks of Satan and I know what to watch for. No, you don't. Because if you did, you just went ahead and died and went to heaven. Or the Lord would have immediately called you from a sinner to be somebody who teaches the word of God. And that's not going to happen. Because the Bible tells us we don't call novices into the faith. We don't call novices in to teach because they wind up getting lifted up in pride. Why? Another trick of the devil. But see, Satan's biggest trick, his biggest trick, is to rob you of the word of God. See, when you come into a church, and especially if you come into a church thinking you know everything, you come into a church thinking that your salvation is good, you've already allowed Satan to take so much from you, because now here it is, you're going to shun a lot of things that the word of God tells you, which you should come together. If you came with a renewed spirit of the mind, then that means you came to God, open to God. Open to the Spirit of God, open to the Word of God, open to the flowing of the Holy Ghost. See, that's what happened when Cornelius got saved. See, Cornelius was doing a lot of the religious stuff. Cornelius thought he was saved, but when the Word of God came, Cornelius had a true renewing of the spirit of the mind, meaning everything in him was converted over. He left himself open so that God could come in. And when God came in and touched his heart, that's when the Holy Ghost fell. And it didn't just fall on him, it fell on him and his entire family. Why? They were all open to receive the word of God. But it also, like I said, it started with the teacher. Cornelius' works went up before God. God said, okay, I notice your works, but you lack something. Go get this man, Peter, and let him teach you all the ways of how you and your house might be saved. When he went and got Peter, he accepted what God told. First and foremost, he accepted the instruction. He followed the instruction. When Peter came and gave him the word of God, Cornelius didn't throw up his own righteousness. Cornelius didn't throw up his own frame of mind. See, that's what happens a lot of times. We hear something that the Word of God tells us to do, or we hear something the Word of God tells us not to do, and then we automatically try to process what it is instead of just being obedient to it. Oh, well, why do I have to do that? Well, I don't think it takes all of that. Well, I don't think this, or I don't think that, or, well, I think the Lord this, or, well, God understands. Understand this. Whatever you're thinking after the word of God goes forth, if it's not in 100% full agreement with the word of God, it's sin. And the reason why I say that is because 9 times out of 10, whatever it is that you're thinking in your mind is something that is tweaking towards your liking, tweaking towards your desire, tweaking towards your convenience, tweaking towards your beliefs, tweaking towards how you think things should go. If you knew how things were supposed to go, you wouldn't need salvation. So you got to understand, I say this all the time, God doesn't need us. We need God. God isn't trying to come down here and be with us. We're trying to get up to heaven to be with God. I can't sit in here, and if I go to somebody's job, and here it is, I go to somebody's job, I don't care what I've been taught in school. I don't care what somebody else told me on another job. If I go to another company and they hire me, I can't walk in just on day one and just tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. No, I got to learn certain protocols. I got to learn certain orders of things. I got to learn certain routines. I got to learn how the company does things differently from the other company that I was with. I got to learn who's in charge. You get what I'm saying? I got to learn who do I answer to and who answers to me. What calls and what shots can I take? How far can I go? What are my limits? What are my what are my limitations and what are my expectations? What do you expect of me? These are the things you have to learn when you go to a company. So there's no way you can just walk in someplace and say, hey, this is what's going to happen and so forth and so forth. No, they give you a quick rundown. This is your job. Here's how you do it. here's who you answer to. This is your boss. Here's where you clock in. This is your here's your office, or here's your spot on the floor. Here's your duties and your responsibilities. We're looking for you to take care of this. We're looking for you to take care of that. We want this done. We want that done. Here, you tell this team what to do, and you listen to this guy who tells you what to do. He gives you your orders, and you relay to the team, or he gives the team the order. You work with this person, that person. It's the same way in God. When you come into God, you don't walk into God like, well, you know, the word of God, you know, this and that. No. You shut up and sit down. Let the word come and tell you. Let the word come and talk to you. Let the word come and deal with you. And then you grow by that. You listen to the rules and the regulations that God has laid down. Don't come into salvation with your own. That is how you become renewed. By the renewedness of your, and that's how you become renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you completely submit and humble yourself under the word of God, not coming trying to step up and say, oh, well, okay. But like I said, first it starts with the teaching. So let's just say you got a good pastor or a good minister who comes in and he's teaching you the word of God and he's giving you everything that God wants to be. Okay, after it goes from the teaching, what else does it go to? It comes to you, the individual. In receiving, right? We went over that. You can't kick against the word of God. You can't say what you think or what you believe or how you want things to go. You have to be humble to the word of God. Now let's move on to step three. Let's say that you came in, you were humble. You mastered step two. You didn't come in kicking against God. If God said, do it this way, that's the way you did it. You didn't allow your mind to tell you or Satan to talk to you in your mind to say, well, what about this? What about that? You guarded your mind, you guarded your heart. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, doing what the Lord told you to do the best way that you can. And when I say the best way you can, I'm not saying that you make excuses. What I'm saying is you grow into some stuff. Some stuff, yeah, you can do. God says, hey, no more drinking. Okay, I don't drink no more. But let's say God says, okay, no more fornication. No more fornication. Then God says, no more lust. Well, you're in lust still, because anybody who's been having sex freely and you stop, that's going to automatically put the flesh in lust. That's going to automatically put the flesh in a state where it's deprived. That's like me walking up and saying, hey, you can't eat any food anymore. You know what I'm saying? Or you got to eat twice a week. Yeah, well, when you're used to eating three times every day, you're going to get hungry. It's the same way with the flesh. With, you get what I'm saying? If you are depriving yourself of alcohol and you are an alcoholic, if you are depriving yourself of cigarettes and you are a heavy smoker, you know what I'm saying? If you're depriving yourself of sex and you were somebody who was out there having sex with just about anybody for whatever reason and you're not married to anybody, then yes, your flesh is going to go hungry in those areas. This is where it leads to step three. Guarding. That what it is of what God told you to do. What I mean guarded, keeping it in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Why did he say I've hid it in my heart? In other words, I've put it in there, locked it in place and put it in a secret place where it can't be pulled back out by outside forces. See, if I hide something in my heart, then I can go get it and pull it out whenever I need it and use it at my disposal. But if somebody else finds it, and when I say somebody else, I mean Satan. If Satan comes and finds it, he has the power to try to get in there. And it's not so much that he has the power. Let me correct that. Understand this, Satan has no more power than what you allow him to have. You give Satan the power. He doesn't have power. Satan has no power. None. This is the reason why Satan comes and talks to you. This is the reason why Satan comes and he tempts you. That's all the power that he has, the same power that any other man has. He has the outside power to influence. It's up to you to have your mind made up. It's up to you to have your heart set on what it is you want to do, how far you want to go, what it is that you'll accept, what it is that you will allow. Okay? So Satan comes in. And in the process of coming in, he wants to try to talk to you. And he's doing all kinds of things outside and around your mind and outside and around your flesh. And he's trying to turn you on and he's trying to say stuff to you and convince you and so forth and so forth. You have to guard the word of God in your heart. You don't always have to jump up. Satan, I bind you. No, bind yourself first. Why do I say bind yourself first? A lot of people overlook themselves. They look at it, okay, I'm in lust. I'm going to bind the devil. No, the devil's not in lust. You are. Bind your flesh. Bind your mind. Because it's the thoughts that are in your mind. Not the thoughts that are in Satan's mind. Thoughts that are in your mind. Watch out for yourself first. Then watch out for others. Hence the reason why the Bible said, first get the mote out of your eye, and then you get the mote out of your brother's eye. You get the beam out of your brother's eye, but first you got to get the mote out of your eye. What does that mean? Before I can bind Satan, before I can bind this person or that person, before I can tell this person off or whatever the case may be, I got to make sure that I'm right. I got to make sure that I'm correct. I got to make sure that what I do in God is apt and correct in what it is that the word of God told me to do, or how the word of God taught me to operate. If I'm not doing it in that way, guess what? I'm setting myself up to fall. I'm setting myself up to allow Satan to come in and steal the word of God out of my heart. I'm allowing outside forces to come in and persuade me, convince me, turn me in a way that goes against the word of God. We got to be careful of these things, because what happens is Satan knows that the main thing that is what's wrong with a lot of people who get saved is they're not watching. They're listening, but they're not watching. They're receiving, but they're not watching. Some are applying. They're not watching. They're praying, but they're not watching. They're studying, but they're not watching. And if you're not watching, that's the same thing as saying you're not guarding. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, you know, when Satan enters it, if Satan, you know, how can Satan enter a man except first he binds a strong man? How is a strong man bound? Two reasons. A, he's weak. B, he's not watching. He's not watching, and if he's not watching, he's not prepared. And if he's not prepared, he's not guarding what's valuable. You go to a bank. You got a security guard standing in the bank. Why? Because of what's in the bank. The security guard, technically, the security guard, should any danger or anything robbers come in or whatever the case may be, he's supposed to be the first one, technically. You know, I'm not saying that this way it always works. I'm just saying. Technically, he's supposed to be the first one to jump up and be like, hey, you know, you guys can't do this. And he's supposed to be the one, like, you know, fight and, you know, put his life on the line and so forth and so forth. Help the patrons get out of the church and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I understand, you know, like I said, in a perfect world. But he's supposed to be the one on guard. He's supposed to be the one watching. Everybody who comes to the door, he's supposed to be watching them, watching how they act, what are they looking for? Okay, if you get somebody who's constantly coming in, every time you look up, he's looking around. Okay, why is this guy looking around? He's supposed to be noticing these things. So that then this way, if he sees signs that there's danger, if he's looking and he notices, okay, hey, this guy has a gun tucked in his waistband. You get what I'm saying? He's supposed to notice these things, walk. Okay, hey, look, listen, whatever you got to do, you got to go. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way he's supposed to operate. And if he operates the way that he's supposed to, guess what? It keeps the bank from getting robbed. It keeps the assets that's in the bank, not in somebody else's hands. It's the same way with salvation. If you're watching, if you're guarding, if you're doing what the word of God told you to do, and being watchful and mindful of your surroundings, both spiritually and naturally, that you're setting yourself up to where Satan can't come in. Because see, you're guarding your mind. You're guarding your heart. You're guarding your spirit. By guarding your surroundings, you're guarding all of these things. Why? Because you're going to be careful who and what you listen to. You're not just going to listen to just anybody, but rather you're going to listen to specific things. Like you're going to do what the Bible says. You're going to try words like the mouth tries food. And if it's something that's not savory unto you, you're going to spit it out. In other words, if it's something that doesn't edify, if it's not something that matches up with what the word of God tells you, you're going to automatically kick it out. No, that's not God. That's not what I've been taught. You're going to be watchful of your heart and your spirit. In other words, you're going to be watchful of who's trying to persuade you and convince you, be it Satan, be it brother, sister, be it mom, be it whoever. You're going to be watchful of everything that they say to you, how they act around you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be mindful of what type of scenarios and situations and atmospheres you're going to put yourself in. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I put it like this. The Bible tells you, don't go around nothing that goes that wars against your flesh. So let's just say, for instance, you're a recovering alcoholic. You're going to be very careful about where you go. You're not going to go places where they're drinking alcohol. You're going to stay away from those places because you know that alcohol is something that tempts the flesh. So therefore, where are you going to go? You're going to go anywhere where there isn't alcohol, right? You're going to go anywhere where there isn't a bar type scene. In other words, you're not going to go places where they're smoking, drinking, hanging out, where folks are, you know, flirting and this and that. You're not going to go in around the bar scene because it's going to tempt you. It's going to put your mindset back into those days when you were back in the bar. You're going to go hang around places and people who don't bring those memories and feelings back up. You're going to go hang around people in places that are inspiring you positively to push the old life away. Guarding what it is that you have up there. It's the third process in being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to guard what the Word of God tells you. You got to put it in you, and you have to apply it. So you can't apply it if you haven't guarded it and put it and locked it in. Again, back to the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. He locked it in and he's protected it that I may not sin against you. How doesn't he sin against you? Because since whatever it is that he's locked in his heart from the word of God, guess what he can do? Like I said earlier, he can take it out and use it. You get what I'm saying? If you got a gun and somebody takes the gun, can you use the gun? No. If you got a sword, a knife, a shield, and somebody takes it from you, can you use it? No. You got to get it back to use it, right? It's the same thing with the Word of God. You can't use something that you don't have. You protect it, but you also use it. You protect the Word of God, but then you also use the Word of God to protect you. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, I'll put it to you like this. Let's say, for example, let's say you went to Right, to keep it clean, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong kind of image. Let's just say, for instance, like I said, we're gonna keep it clean. Let's say, for instance, you go to a water gun fight. How's that? Okay, water gun fight. So yeah, just about everybody's been in a water gun fight or a water balloon fight. Either way, okay. So you go to a water gun fight. You got water balloons. You got water guns of all shapes and sizes, and everybody's running around now. You've got your water gun, right? You've got your nice big super soaker and whatnot. And, you know, you're running around blasting people and this and that. And then it's like, you know, you got yourself a little water pistol in your pocket so that should the super soaker run out, you can still tag people. And, you know, you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like fully Ramboed out. You know what I'm saying? You got like full commando, like, you know what I'm saying? Not like naked commando, but like military commando, play gear. You know, you got water balloon grenades. You got the backpack filled with water and the super soaker. You got the water pistol. Now, let's say, you know, you go through and this and that, and, you know, you put the super soaker down. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you put the super soaker down so that you could try to fill the water pistol up, and somebody comes and runs by and takes the super soaker. Well, can you use that super soaker? No. You didn't guard it. So therefore, your opponent came and took it and ran off. Okay, so all right, now, okay, all right, fine. At least you got the water pistol, but then you turn around and found out that somebody took the water grenades. They took the water balloons. That's something else you don't have. Now you're stuck with one thing. Now, let's say that somebody comes up and they start, you know what I'm saying, you're out there shooting people with the water pistol, and somebody comes up and they wrestle you down and they take it. Now what do you got? Now you're just out there just defenseless. You tried to use it, but you didn't guard it. And therefore, since you didn't guard it, somebody else took it. Therefore, you can't use it. It's the same with the word of God. When you have it, yeah, you get the word of God. If you don't guard it and it's taken from you, you can't apply it. See, if you come into a situation, let's just say, for instance, now we're going to go into the spiritual sense. Let's go into the spiritual sense as an example. And let's say something along the lines of you found out that you had cancer. Okay, now let's say you found out that you had cancer. Now the word of God has been preached unto you, has been delivered unto you. You had it at one point. Let's say you have it. When you find out that you got cancer, you have the word of God. Okay, now in the process of finding out that you got cancer, you allow Satan or you allow other people to come in and talk to you. Well, you know, granddad, he had cancer and it just runs in the family. And, you know, normally it means that, you know, you're going to die. And what kind of cancer you said you had? Oh, yeah, you know, that kind of cancer runs heavy in our family, you know. And, you know, we have very few survivors that last from that. Now, here it is. You got Satan also telling you, look, you got cancer. And you mean to tell me that God loves you? Why would God allow you to get cancer if he was with you? Now, you turn around. You gave your life to God and you did this for God and you paid all this money to the church and you did this and you denied yourself this and you come up with cancer. What kind of reward is that? Now, you're listening to all of this. You're not guarding the word of God in your mind, because the first thing that you would have done is anybody who came around with anything negative, you'd say, hey, look, I don't want to hear that. Okay, I don't care who died from it. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Satan come around like, well, you know this now. You're like, look, Satan, I don't got time to hear this. My faith is in God. I know what the Lord's got. And even if it is that the Lord, want to die from this, this means that this was in the will of God for me to die from this. We all got to die from something. You would have said something. You had some kind of kickback. You wouldn't have let them persuade you. You would have had some kind of kickback. That's you guarding it, getting away from the conversations, rebuking the outside sources and forces. Getting away from them and turning your attention to God. Lord, I know that you're with me. I don't know if this is going to be unto death, or I don't know if this is just a test, but whatever it may be, Lord, I trust in you. I'm just going to keep moving. Now, let's say you listen to all those outside sources and forces, and then next thing you know, you go back to the doctor. What faith do you think you're going to be able to use when he tells you that your cancer is growing into a state of aggression? When he says, yes, your cancer is getting rather aggressive, it's growing at a very fast rate, and it's starting to cover this area, and we may have to perform surgery, and we may have to amputate, and this, then what? Then what? What faith do you have? You let everybody else steal it from you, so therefore, how can you apply it? But if you guarded it, blocked out all the negative stuff and guarded the word of God in your heart, what you'll say is, okay, well, that's what that you'll tell the doctor, well, okay, well, you know, we'll see what we can do, and I guess we'll just keep going. But in your mind and in your heart, you'll be saying, no, Lord, that ain't, Lord, I know who you are. I know you're a God of healing. And you'll be praying a prayer like Jesus, like, Lord, let this cup pass from me, unless it's your will. And no matter whether it is the will of God for this cancer to do a lot of damage or whether it's just a test, you'll go through it like a champ. You'll go through it fully positive. It won't matter if they got to amputate. It won't matter if you want to paralyze. It won't, because you know that at the end, this is the will of God. You'll be comfortable understanding what you have to go through, and you'll know either A, this is something that I have to go through that I can help others to learn spiritually and naturally, or this is just a test, so that then this way, when I get called home, here's how the Lord tested my faith. Here's how the Lord tested me with my usage of the word of God. We're gonna go ahead and end it right here, but I want y'all to understand that when you have a renewing in the spirit of your mind, it gives you a totally different outlook on life, on people, on yourself. But the outlook is supposed to be a positive one. That's not to say that you won't see bad or evil or whatever the case may be, but with the positive outlook and with you turning your focus more towards the word of God, you'll know how to deal with all the negativity and all the other things that aren't of God. And you'll know how to still deal with them and still keep a smile on your face. Deal with them and still keep faith in your heart. Deal with them and still be able to move forward and progress and prosper and grow. Not be hindered. Not move backward. Not give up. You guys take care. And I will talk to you tomorrow, because what I'm trying to do is I am going to commit myself to doing one podcast every day. I've got more than enough messages to cover a podcast every day. And we are going to get into the habit of doing this, because I want you guys to hear what I have to say, because what I have to say is needful for many of you out there. So just keep listening. And by all means, if you like what I hear, by all means, favorite me on Anchor. Listen to me wherever other podcasts are being played. However it is that you like it, you know, click the like button, click the subscription button, or whatever the case may be. Hit me up on Facebook, Lyle Lucky Lewis. I'm going to have a website coming out pretty soon. And seeing as how I'm going to be doing podcasts every day, you guys will be more than brought up to speed on what the website will be. I'm going to have all kinds of good content on there. But 9 times out of 10, the content is going to be geared more towards my comics novel page, which I will be officially getting that up and running now too. So yeah, I got a lot of big things happening, and so just stay tuned. You know, if you want to listen to me inspire you and touch your heart and touch your soul, then by all means keep listening to my Pain Fighters podcast. If you want me to entertain you and you know what I'm saying, just, you know, spark the imagination a little bit, check out my comics novel page. And, you know, like I said, check me out on Facebook. If you like what you heard on this podcast, by all means, tune us in on the Word Evangelistic Church. We have our website, wordevangelisticchurch.com. You can Google us. You can check us out on Facebook, where we have our podcast, not our podcast, but our telecast and our streamline. We do live streamline every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Hit the subscription button, hit the alert icon, and every single time a message pops up, you'll be able to catch it live. All right? So by all means, hey guys, love you, take care, God bless.